I thank the Lord for that song. I found it beautiful and compelling. And I'd appreciate your prayers and your courtesy and attention in a while. Do you ever try to pray and wonder if your prayer went through? Sometimes it seems easier to pray than others, maybe. And if we could have a lesson here this morning, I would just about guarantee anytime you pray, you know you got a connection. Would you be interested in something like that? Well, it wouldn't be very useful on my opinion, but if I give you Jesus' opinion, I have some gospel to preach to you this morning. And I'd like to ask your prayers and the courtesy of your attention a little while. Jesus dealt with all kinds of people while he was in the world. One of the things that comforts me to notice about him is that when somebody to ask him for an audience with him, it didn't seem to matter very much who it was. It was a publican. It was a little man. I had to climb a sycamore tree to be able to see him. The Lord was interested in that. If it was a member of the Sanhedrin, too proud to come and visit him in the daytime, Jesus would take time in the evening to meet with him. Whoever wanted to talk to him. And that gives me comfort, because I've been some times when I'd come to the Lord, I didn't feel very qualified to get anything from him. But, you know, the father didn't love the prodigal son because he started back or because he quit the pig pen or because of what he taught him. He loved him because he was his son. And that's the way the Lord feels about us too. We're his creation and he loves us for that reason. We don't have to prove anything more than that to him for him to love us. So my passage of scripture this morning is familiar. It's not very many verses, really. Just a handful. It's in the 18th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 10th verse. Jesus has been dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's trying to get them to understand how to pray. I'm not involved with the scribes and the Pharisees. I don't even know any. But I am interested in what the Lord has to say about how to get a prayer through. There's been some times in my life when I needed to get some prayers through pretty urgently. And besides all the time in my journey, I'm a man who's absolutely desperate to go to heaven, and I got to do whatever it takes, and I can't get there if the Lord won't help me. So here's what he said. Luke told us he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's a bad word, isn't it? Despised. Here's what he said. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And I know the gospel is serious. These are the words of life. But it's hard to resist the temptation to have a little bit of fun with this Pharisee this morning. So we'll talk about him a little bit in the things the Lord said about him. Notice that these fellows went up to the temple to pray. You want to get your prayers through? Practice going to the temple to pray. Now, I know that that temple is over in Jerusalem. I know that the scriptures in the New Testament declared that our bodies are the Lord's temple. But there is in prayer a private prayer and there is a public prayer. And God wants us to practice both. It's important. If you read the history of the Old Testament, from the time of Moses onward, there was always in Israel a place for public prayer. There was a tabernacle. And then there was a temple. And God showed his interest in both of them by giving very specific instructions about how they were to be built. And he emphasized about it, saying, see thou make all things according to the pattern I showed thee in the mount. Well, that was a place of public worship. Folks, in the New Testament, we're not bound to a temple like that. Jesus' temple was open hillside. It was a deck of a fishing boat. His disciples were walking through the wheat field and gathered some wheat with their hands as they went. Then the folks came and reproved them. And Jesus stepped clear past their reproof and told them in so many words, "I'm one that's greater than the temple is here. He is our temple. But the church is at its best. It's the highest reach of the Christian church when we are in one fellowship in public worship together. There's what should be demonstrated, the gentle, tender anointing of the Spirit of God, the patience, the call, the love, the power over sickness, and the power over devils." So these men had that idea, and they had it because it had been trained to them from the time they were young. I hope we're training our children that same thing. It's not good to neglect worship service. It's one of the most important things we have to do in our lives. We should do what we can to build our work around our worship instead of trying to build our worship time, public worship time, around our work. But take time for the Lord if you want him to take time for you. So that's what they did. They went up to the temple, and the reason for going there was to pray. And the Pharisee stood. And here's where we have some fun, because the Greek in that says he struck a pose to pray. And I try to wonder how you do that. How do you strike a pose to pray? I wonder if he did. Because he's doing this for people to see it. And I read about this and I wonder if he practiced that in front of the mirror before he got there. Do you pose like this? Or do you, the scripture said the other fellow wouldn't even look up to heaven. I wonder if he did like this. And started his recitation. The scripture said he prayed with himself. It didn't say he prayed to God. He prayed with himself. And I can see him in my mind's eye with his arms out like this and looking over his shoulder this way and this way. Is everybody watching? If you're going to do that, and you practice it in the mirror before you get there, and you put on the clothes that are going to impress everybody how religious you are, and then you try to get everybody to notice you, of course you're going to find the most public place you can find in the building. You want everybody to see. God? No, that wasn't what he was trying to show, was it? So here he is. He struck a pose. And he prayed thus with himself. And he opens his verse praying to God. But Jesus said he was praying himself. And then he says, "I thank thee. I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust," and gives us a catalog of them. "Here's what I am to you, Lord. I fast twice in the week. The law commandment was once in the week." He said, "I give tithes of all that I had." People were supposed to give tithes of their money and their animals. So I go beyond that. I give tithes of everything. And if you read those two verses right there, you find five I's in them. Have you ever listened to somebody talk till you get tired of hearing them on I? I did this and I did that. I went here and I went there. Oh, I had the flu and I was so sick. I threw up and I threw up and I got so sick. I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. And finally get tired of that and kind of track them off on another subject a little bit. Well, what kind of car you got? Well, I went down to the car dealer and I got the best deal that anybody's ever got. And I've studied cars for years and I know that a Ford is better than a Ram is better than a... And I... How are you going to get a prayer through to God if you come and talk to him about how important I am, how many things that I have done? It almost sounds like the Pharisee felt like he got God in his debt. Then he owed him somehow, because I've done so many things so right, so well. I'm here at the temple to remind you of it in front of everybody who's watching me. I got my arms spread out or I got my hands folded in my pose. And I'm going to impress you, God, about what you got to bless me. But did you notice in this prayer, he never said, "Bless me." He never asked for anything. He just went here and told God what all had been doing for him. Well, there are kinds and kinds of Pharisees. There's an old story about a construction supervisor, a pretty hard-bitten lot. And I had a young fellow working for him. Go out there on the end of that scaffold and nail up that eave. I want you to cut off the rafter tails. And the guy said, that's dangerous. What kind of fool do you think I am? And the boss said, you mean there's more than one kind? I always thought they're pretty much the same. Well, people have done that same sort of thing with Pharisees. Do you know who James Kaufman is? Have you ever met him? I haven't either, but I read his book. And here's what he said. He described, I think, seven kinds of Pharisees. One of them he called the shoulder Pharisee. Wears all his good deeds on his shoulder and did all his kind works to be seen by people. Well, that sounds like this kind, doesn't it? There's a wait a little bit Pharisee who's always suggested something else to do first. I come and follow you, but first let me go and bury my father. There was a bruised Pharisee who's too pious to look on a woman. When he's walking down the street and a woman didn't have any business being on the street where he was, but if she was, he'd rather shut his eyes and walk along blind and walk into a wall than to look at a woman. So there's that kind of Pharisee. There's a pestle and mortar Pharisee. You know what a pestle and mortar are? Mortar's kind of a tube, and a pestle is a little ram that you'd ram down. Another name for that kind is a humpback Pharisee, because he's always looking down and sees a dark place in life, and so it's like that. Mock imitation humility. The ever-reckoning Pharisee kept a ledger of all his good deeds and the bad deeds that other people do in an effort to balance accounts with himself. There were some of them who are God-loving Pharisee. And finally, there's a timid Pharisee. Nicodemus was one of those. I guess you'd call him the schizophrenic of all of them. He didn't have the courage to come right out and deal with the Lord openly, and I read that category. The only one of them that I'd be interested in being is a God-fearing Pharisee. Scriptures teach us that after Jesus was crucified, there was a great company of the priests that came and got saved and followed, believed what Jesus was doing. Well, I'd like to think that that was some of those God-fearing Pharisees, because the Lord, being able to recite this prayer, he tells us that he heard it. He heard it. He heard what they said. He reads our hearts. He's looking at every one of us today, whether we're seeking his face or not, in his mercy. Well, really not too interested in that guy. That's an example of the wrong way to do it. Let's look at the publican. Pharisees were doctors of the law. Pharisees considered themselves generally too holy to associate with the common people. They wouldn't talk to you or me. We're Gentiles, and we weren't worthy to be around them much. They're too holy for that. Lord, help us that we never, ever get too holy to see the need of people around us. The scripture said the common people heard him gladly. He came to save the common people. Upper class people could get saved. Paul was right out of the upper class, and he certainly got saved. But the majority of those with whom he worked, they're just the shepherds, the ditch diggers, the lowly people. It isn't necessarily that the Lord prefers that, but it's that he's willing to come down to where any of us are and hear our prayers. So the publican, about as low as you could get in Israel at that time, a publican was a tax gatherer, and he was considered to be the betrayer, traitor of his own country and of his own people. But no matter how far people get down in soul sin, they're still souls, every one of them. They're still on a journey toward eternity. Every one of them need the Lord. Folks, there are not any souls around us in the world. The Lord doesn't want us to be prepared to help, to offer the mercy of salvation, a kind word, a cup of cold water if we can do so, whatever we can to lift someone else's burden. And he demonstrated that so much by being that to all of us himself. So think about this man. The first one I mentioned to you, he struck a pose. In contrast to that, this man didn't strike a pose. He smote his breast. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He came to the temple to pray, to worship God. When we come to the temple to pray, folks, to our worship service, it isn't that we need to be able to impress people. And there are people who find it easy to pray in the public worship service. And there are people who just nearly can't do it. As far as publicly speaking words and feel embarrassed or humiliated, the Lord understands that. He gives gifts and callings, and he calls some people to pray for frequently. And he's got his prayer warriors, and some of them he doesn't. But there are a lot of ways to pray in the worship service. The songs in our hymnal, every one of them is a prayer. When we come into the worship and we sing them, or even allow them being sung in our presence to seep into our souls and represent what we ourselves are saying to the Lord, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee, we're praying. We're praying. And when we bow to agree in prayer with one another, we all are praying. It's not just the words the Lord's looking at. Somebody comes to pray in service and we give a prayer request and somebody gets theirs forgotten. Nobody mentions it. Hold it in your heart. That's what the Lord's looking at. And he counts it as sincerely as if the words had been spoken many times. It's important, I know, to speak the words and call somebody's name when we pray. But the Lord sees our hearts. So this man, instead of striking a pose, he hit his breast. And he's not thinking about anybody's shortcomings but his. And he prayed, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. How long does it take to pray? In the congregation, we had a situation one time. It was a sister who liked to pray quite a while in meeting. And had a brother there, and he came to me one time and said, he was an older gentleman, and he said, I just can't pray with her. My knees hurt. I still kneel down that long, it hurts. And a few weeks later, he came back and he said, Brother Ed, I see what happened. Now, she doesn't kneel to pray. She just sits there on her seat and prays, and that's why she can pray so long. And he said, I can't take that anymore. Well, long prayers, if you have a long burden, have their place. There are different kinds of prayers. There is a prayer for saying grace for your meal. There's a prayer for praying for the sick. There's a prayer for private prayer. It's a mistake to come and pray our private prayer in the public worship service. We need to pray for our daily grace at home. We need to come to the public service and pray for the things that have to do with the public prayer. Have you noticed how people can get into a rhythm in their prayers? Dear God, bless me now because, dear God, you see how much I need you this week. And, dear God, I need you to go before me. And he knows who you're talking to. The way to pray is intelligently, talking like you would to a friend, somebody very close to you, not necessarily in a sing-song pattern or vain repetitions the scripture talked about. I've had the Lord witness to me. Be careful concerning this. Your testimony is yours. This is mine. But I come with typically the same words when I start every day. And the Lord said to me, if your wife got up every morning and said to you, dear husband, I come to you now in the name of the Father and the Son, and I want you to hear my prayers and bless me. And she said that every morning. Wouldn't you get tired of that? And I'm a person too, and I want you to have a way to approach me that I'm willing to hear. Well, there's a time for long prayers. And sometimes we have long burdens. And when we pray a long time, the Lord has a way to open things to us. And it's a blessing. But it's not the length of our prayers that matters, folks. It's connecting. This man spoke seven words. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said he went down to his house justified. What a thing to say. Now those words are in the Bible a lot. Mercy and peace. They're especially in the New Testament. Only one time in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, it's the other way around. Peace and mercy. There's a reason for that. Mercy brings peace. Amen. This man came to confess his sin. The other fellow confessed nothing. He asked for nothing. Everything that he said was I. But this man, he felt a need. The way to get something from the Lord is to come with a need. And it's not valuable to go to the Lord and say, you see my past life. You see how holy I am. No, I can't find throughout the New Testament where anybody got anything from the Lord based on their holiness. There's a man that the folks let down through the roof one time and the Lord healed him. And as far as we know, that man never spoke a word to the Lord. And as far as we know, the Lord never spoke a word to him about the life he was living. The one thing he required over and over is faith in God. Faith caused this man to go to the temple. Faith caused this man to smite on his breast. Faith caused him to tremble at the word of God, consider what his wrongs had been, and come and ask the Lord, beginning with his prayer. Acknowledge him as God and then say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went to his house justified. I don't know how to tell you what it feels like when the Lord accepts your prayers and you know it. And the old sins are rolled away and your heart feels light and free. He didn't have to smite his breast going out of the temple. He smote his breast going in there. And I notice in the scripture that short prayers are often prayers that move God the most. Those two blind men who came to the Lord, they made theirs just simply, have mercy on us, the son of David. The Syrophoenician woman who came, she had the worst, maybe one of the shortest of all. After all her contact with the Lord, it looked like the Lord was turning away from her, wasn't going to hear her, and she said, Lord, help me. Did you know that's a very powerful prayer in God's sight? Did you know if you're a parent and your little child comes to you and they got their feet tangled up in barbed wire and they say, Daddy, help me. Mother, help me. You're not going to stand up to very much of that. You're going to be doing something to help them, aren't you? The Lord's our Heavenly Father, folks. He wants us to humble ourselves to come before him. I think of that woman that whose child died and raced off to find the prophet and got there and he sent his message, is it well? And she gave him just a three-word answer, but there was a power of heaven in it. It is well. It is well. And you've heard the song that the poet made of it, it is well with my soul. That's a valuable thing to be able to say. That's, you know, that's our prayer for every one of us when we leave this building this morning, that we'd be able to say, it is well with my soul. I came there, I opened my heart to the Lord. The Lord in his mercy met me. I'm able to go to my house justified, clear in my spirit. There's a record in the Bible of a man who with almost his last breath said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't have time to pray a very long prayer, and it didn't take a very long prayer. But you remember what the Lord said to him this day. Middle of the afternoon, another 3 hours or so left in the day. I know you're hurting. I know it's your hands hurting, my hands and feet hurt too. Can you make it another 3 hours? Because this day, before this Jewish day is over, you're going to win it. All you wanted in your life. I'll go through a little. I don't want any nails in my hands. Don't misunderstand me. But I'll be willing to go through some things, wouldn't you? To hear him say, this day, don't give up now. It's almost over. Now, and he got that all with one short prayer. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Stephen, when they were striking him with the stones. 5 words. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. To be able at the end of life to say with confidence, I'm laying it down now. I can't. What's happening in my body, I can't prevent, and life is being forced out of it. My spirit is about to depart, but Lord, it's not going to be lost. I commend it into your hands. Safely lay myself down in this place. Thank God. The Pharisee prayed, and he said, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this man. I wonder if he pointed at him. But I have in mind he was praying out loud because they folks liked to do that in those days. And I wondered if he pointed. I'm glad I'm not like this publican. And Jesus picked up his words and threw it right back to him. This man went down to his house justified. This man, he's talking about you and me. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his sins, troubles. Folks, the Lord wants to deliver you and me too. There is a way that we can come to the Lord and be sure that our prayers will be heard. And the whole secret is to have faith in him and to come with that cry, be merciful to me. I need you, Lord. I can't solve this by myself. And put it in the language that Paul used. We come to him crying, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. It means we come to him and say, I'm in trouble. I haven't done well. I'm a sinner. Daddy, help me. And it'll touch him. I thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. And I pray these things will be a blessing to your soul. Amen.